RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Time for another Tech Tuesday here at RCR, though Stephen Sykes knocked it out of the park last week. I don't know if he can do it again. We'll see. Stephen, welcome back. Good to have you.
Thanks very much. I'm not sure I could do that 2 weeks in a row. I might need a breather.
Yeah, that was the cage, right? The cage. That's what I'm calling it anyway.
Yeah, it was a good nickname that you came up with, and there were one or two references about that in the feedback that we'll get to pretty soon. Yeah, it was quite a deep story, obviously, and I think it certainly touched on a few people's emotions.
Made me want to buy a camper van and get the hell out of town is what it made me feel like doing anyway. And I can see myself doing that at some point if this all happens.
Yeah, although where would you go?
Well, somewhere. Freedom camping? I don't know. They won't even let you do that now. All right, so we'll get to the incomings regarding that in a moment, but we've got others from earlier. So let's go through some of the feedback first up. And then what are we talking about?
Well, I thought, because we've got so much feedback, that we've probably only really got time for one other item, and that is about upload moderation and the effects that this will have on everybody.
Upload moderation. Okay. Yeah. not a very entertaining title or description there. Okay, next 30 minutes is on upload moderation, everybody. I know it's not as it's going to be more interesting than that. Okay, what have people been asking, saying, feeding back, Stephen?
So Max asks if for my opinion on the GMX email provider. So I had heard of GMX before and haven't looked at it too thoroughly, but I have to say, it was before even actually creating an account, I sort of got put off already, because simply browsing to the site, all of a sudden there's a bunch of trackers in the website that are trying to do their thing. And then when you go to actually go and create an account, there's further trackers on that page. And then they ask for information around your birth date. And I thought, well, what do you need to know birth date? You can like send me a card or something. And then they also want your cell phone number. Potentially that's for the situation whereby you might lock yourself out of your account. But I mean, I've talked about the praises of Postio for ages. Postio never asked for an account, a cell phone number to go with your account. You can later on optionally provide one if you want to. So there's a few red flags for me just before even creating an account. And given that, A, it's free, and they've got a bunch of advertising on their website, it's like, yeah.
Of course they'll be monetizing that. Of course they
yes,
will.
Yes, exactly. So I'd actually rather pay for something if it means that what I'm going to end up with I can actually trust.
Put it this way, you're more likely to be having your data harvested than you're going to get a happy birthday phone call from them.
Yeah. Me think so too.
All right. That's that one. What else?
Kidoki. Dave writes, last week I made a submission on the managed retreat project. The website refused to accept my posting with the message, "You have been rejected by Google Recapture. Please try the following steps before attempting your submission again. 1, try using a different browser or different device to make your submission. 2, try clearing your browser's cookies and cache before making your submission. 3, the above steps do not fix the issue. Please contact parliament.website@parliament.govt.nz. So Google has been talking to my lovely lady Linux Mint, checking up on me and where I have been. I was displeased, to say the least, so I said goodbye to the relationship with my trusty laptop and started setting up a newer model, more attractive screen and lots more MIPS, which is millions of instructions per second. Installed a fresh copy of Karachi. The government website liked the new lady much better. Wished I had a hypersonic missile to send Google's way by way of thanks."
Okay, so I'm just trying to work out what actually happened there, just in some sort of incompatibility, because it's all a bit a foreign language to me, I've got to say.
Yeah, fair enough. So Dave was using Linux Mint to give his submission.
Gotcha, yeah.
And government website said no. So then he installed a different Linux distribution called Kodachi and tried again and then had success that way.
Okay. So he got it through in the end.
Yes. Although I suspect that the issue actually wasn't Linux Mint per se as an operating system, given that's what I use myself. There'll be something else going on that caused this problem.
What could that be?
There'll be something in the browser, I think, or okay. Something unusual about the internet traffic, I think. The Kodachi is a alleged hardened distribution of Linux. There are a variety of different Linux distributions which are hardened. Kodachi is one of them. There are probably stronger choices like Tails for this sort of purpose, but it's good that he got through there in the end.
Okay. And there's more, but wait, there's more.
Oh, there's always more. Well, often there is more. Okay, where are we? We've got so many. Someone has written in to say that Safe Surfer on the Samsung phone controls access to the internet. So that'll be like a software firewall, so you can allow and disallow packet apps on your phone from doing this, that, or the other thing. The trouble is you probably need to have a Samsung phone on it. I haven't come across it, so I suspect it's a Samsung only piece of software, which still means you have to have a Google phone to make it work. So, okay.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And we've had a few people want to get in touch around having a Google phone. So I've been making my best efforts to catch up with people on that. Someone has written in to say that, hi, all RCR people, this is my first attempt at using LibreOffice. Thanks, Tech Guy. My Student 365 free membership ran out a year or two ago. So you might remember LibreOffice was the alternative to Microsoft Office.
Okay. Yep. Cool. So there's a happy customer.
Yeah. So if you're looking for something other than Microsoft Office, try LibreOffice and give that a crack.
Okay. Are we getting ever closer to the cage response? Because I'm really curious to hear what people have been saying about that.
Oh, yeah. We're getting there, nearly there. Jacqueline has written to say that when Google Gmail kept sending me messages that I needed more storage at a price monthly, I did not comply. They stopped all my email communication. I've gone with another email provider. Yes, it was frustrating, but I've learnt the new system. I wonder how long it will be before for your emails to stop.
Okay. Yep. Keep it coming.
You just want to get to the cage feedback, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Well, we're there now. We are there.
Good. All right.
Okay, so I have to say I feel a little self-conscious in reading some of this because I feel like I might be seen as vain, but feedback is feedback, so I'll read it for what it says.
It's not that, you know, you're writing it yourself, so don't worry.
Well, this is true. So first item, someone said, the cage, just well, thank you. Can't wait to share and hopefully open someone's eyes.
That's good. Wow. That's what I said. Wow.
Yeah, you did like two or three times, I think.
I know. Wow, wow, wow.
Someone else has said, absolutely brilliant and so scary, Stephen. I don't know if I was scary or what I said.
Well, no, it's just the dystopian picture of it all that was scary. I thought it was kind of scary, actually.
Janet says, that was freaking amazing, Stephen. We'll need to listen again on the replay this afternoon.
Yep, good. Yeah, you probably need more than one listen to cram it all, actually.
Yeah, I was talking fast, as you could tell. Jackie says, just wow. Somebody else says, dear Paul, we are so fortunate to have RCR and the spectacular Stephen Sykes putting in the work to inform and inspire us to open our eyes. Red pill all the way, Neo. Brilliant show this morning.
Cool. That's good. And some more?
And some more. Hi, Paul. This morning's story told by Stephen was bone-chilling. The smart devices and cities are spying on us. We knew that, but this was an insight into what could befall us if current data harvesting is weaponized or financially incentivized.
Which it will be.
Which it already is. Very important everyone sits up and takes notice and stop giving away all our data. Can we please have a solutions-based follow-up from Stephen and more shareable stories like this, please? Love your work. Keep up the great material and speakers.
Well, I think you only went through about half a day. In that,
yeah, so we got to about lunchtime, didn't we?
You got the rest of the day to do for an encore, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's one that we'll get to in a future Tech Tuesday, but someone had asked if there was some scope for doing data collection by loyalty cards. So this correspondent writes that ones like the New World Club card or the Woolworths card. I had been using the New World card, but for a $400 spend, you get about $8 off and maybe $1.50 of Air New Zealand dollars, which is nothing considering you are giving up your data about what you buy, eat, etc. What will they do with that data? So from your keyboard to my eyes, we shall do that in a future Tech Tuesday. Watch this space.
All right. Are we getting ever closer now to the...
Two more. Molly says, hi, just heard the replay of Tech Tuesday. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Molly.
Yeah.
Molly. Final one, Paul. This is actually from a listener called Paul. Steve is a brilliant weekly guest on your show, although it is a bittersweet experience for me because it spooks the heck out of me, but I'm drawn in with a morbid fascination. Likewise, his story of a day in the life of a digital day is like a nightmare we all will be a part of, and when you toss and turn and slap your face to wake up, then you feel the pain of reality. Steve, it's people like you who will lead in the takedown of the machines. Enjoying your show. Thanks, RCR.
All right. That's all pretty good.
So call me John Connor, I think.
I'm not surprised by all that. And if you missed what we're talking about, and I am calling it The Cage, and that came out of a lyric in which you were here, right, which we played
after that.
But it is a cage. If you're interested, just go onto our website, go to replays, search Tech Tuesday, and put in the date. So it's a week back from today, and you'll be able to listen to that. So we threw the feedback now.
Yeah, I threw the feedback, but I just want to say one other thing about the cage and the feedback from it. This is probably semantics, and it's probably just semantics, but some of the sentences I read out were like as if we were approaching that kind of dystopian way of things, but we're already there.
Yeah.
Now, some of the things haven't happened yet, but the vast majority of what I read out already has. So, like, remember how I talked about the fridges?
Yep.
And how you'd have to go up to wave your hand and talk to it?
Yep.
Well, in the USA, Walgreens already have fridges like that. The only thing is that you don't actually have to speak and to get it to open. But as you approach them, the front of the fridge displays what's actually behind the screen inside the fridge. And then...
Well, like an LCD display.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. So instead of just glass, it's a screen.
Well, that's the one that might be in a gas station or something, right? So it doesn't show you the actual physical product. It shows you a still frame or whatever graphic of what's in there.
Yep. Yep. And they don't turn on until you approach it. So you can't see what's in there until you walk up to it. So, you know, if you were to walk into a place like that, you'd look around and eyeball what's behind the glass and go, I want a drink of that. Go out to it and pick it out. But no, you've got to walk up to them for them to turn on to see what's actually inside it. So those fridges are there. So you can just open them and go in for now, until they decide to change something on us, and then all of a sudden there's a restriction.
And they'll say, that person that is they, will say that that's so you can change out the product and you don't Though you could see it through the glass anyway if it's changed up, but we put a new graphic in there. We can switch things around real easy, and it's the way to go. It will be the reasoning for it.
Yeah, and, well, but we know that it's a system of control. Is what it really is.
And it could actually have you make your choice by the graphic, which might not represent the full range of product anyway.
It's a bit like, not that I eat the stuff, but it's a bit like when they'd have on TV a McDonald's Big Mac and it looks massive, and then you go in to get one and it's like, well, this isn't what I thought I was getting.
I saw a comparison size of a Big Mac like 20 years ago and today, and it's shrunk, man.
I bet.
There's no question. And I remember what they're like when they first came here.
Mm.
Used to eat enough of them.
One more final point.
Yep.
Around the cage is that there were two themes I put in there, and I called one of them out by name, and that name was choice.
Yep.
And then intertwined with choice is legacy. Legacy, that being what we choose to leave behind for future generations. So are we going to create a right royal mess of things and hope someone else will sort it out? Or are we going to choose to act, fix it? Because I'll tell you what, we are that someone else.
We're the only ones standing in front of it potentially, aren't we? Once we've gone, it's done.
And what remains is what other people will end up inheriting. So choose wisely and involved, because what's the phrase? Compliance is acceptance.
Yep.
Or silence is compliance.
Yeah. And compliance is acceptance.
Yeah.
So, oh dear. I got a sinking feeling, Stephen, but let's stay hopeful.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just make better choices.
What was that dazzling term you used before? Upload something?
Yeah, upload moderation.
Oh, that's the one.
So it makes it sound like we're talking about a diet here, but we're not. So you know how they...
Well, that's a download.
Yeah. You know how they tried to rename Three Waters because Three Waters had too much negative attention, so they thought they'd rebrand it?
Yep, I do remember that.
Yeah, well, that's what upload moderation is. So back in November, and this is off the back of a report written by Meredith Whittaker, who is the president of Signal Foundation, and she wrote a blog post on June the 17th. And basically, and this is a big problem that affects all of us, and it's about end-to-end encryption. Now, back then, they were talking about ways to go around encryption, not break encryption, but to go around it, to circumvent it. So Edward Snowden has said basically this is a masks-off situation, because people like the Signal Foundation and hundreds of other prominent computer security experts who weighed in to say, hey, what you guys are planning, you know, in the EU is a really, really bad idea. And so instead of listening to what everyone was trying to tell them, they completely ignored them and are doing it anyway.
Okay. Yep.
That feels a little familiar, doesn't it?
I expect that to be the default these days.
Yeah. Especially when everyone's saying, you know, don't do this, and like, hang on, so this is not a democracy anymore? Okay.
Get with the program, Stephen.
Yeah, I think I could be behind there. Meredith's report is really good. It's just a single page, but she writes in her second to last paragraph, she writes, rhetorical games are cute in marketing or tabloid reporting, but they are dangerous and naive when applied to such a serious topic with such high stakes. So let's be very clear again. Mandating mass scanning of private communications fundamentally undermines encryption. Full stop.
Yeah, of course.
Whether this happens via tampering with, for instance, an encryption algorithm's random number generation, or by implementing a key escrow system, or by forcing communications to pass through a surveillance system before they're encrypted. We can call it a back door, a front door, or upload moderation. But whatever we call it, each one of these approaches creates a vulnerability that can be exploited by hackers in hostile nation states. Removing the protection of unbreakable math and putting in its place a high-value vulnerability. So to put this into different terms, I suppose, this takes us back to pre-internet. This takes us back to the 1960s, where all communications had no encryption at all and everything was sent in the clear. So when we talked about this on Tech Tuesday some months ago, and I talked about the angry leprechaun sitting on your shoulder, watching everything you're doing. So this means that software on your phone, on your computer, before encryption occurs, it's watching what's going on.
Yeah.
So even though it might be going down an encrypted channel, it doesn't really matter because it's being checked out already. And
what, so it's being checked out, then it's encrypted.
Yes.
What's the point?
Well, this is ridiculously serious. It's not just in the EU this affects. It affects the entire world because this means that no longer will you be able to have security with financial transactions. Companies will not be able to protect company secrets anymore.
They'd be aware of that.
And they probably don't care.
Yeah, but the companies would care. That's who I mean. They'd be aware
yes,
of it.
Yes, and all those companies will include the experts who've been telling the EU Parliament, no, don't do this, because here's all the reasons why. And one of the other things they end up doing with it is not only just private communications, but it's very good for mass scanning against the government-curated database and for training AI models of what is acceptable speech and content.
Okay, yeah. We've always got to think about that AI model training now, don't we?
Oh, yeah. And like, where'd you get the data from?
Yeah, to train.
To train. Because they're just taking your data, which is why I've always felt uneasy about putting stuff into the cloud, which is why I typically do not do it.
Mm.
The only ways really around this, assuming this still continues to go ahead, is we go from the hardest solution all the way up to the easiest, well, the less awkward solution, perhaps. One, you send all your communications via the postal system, maybe via an armored car.
yeah.
The second one is that your communication, you encrypt it on a computer that's not attached to a network, internet or anything. Yeah. So what it's plugged into is electricity. You encrypt your data, your communication on that one, then you copy it to the one that is connected to the internet, and then that sends it. And then the person at the other end has to then do the reverse.
Okay, they need to have some encryption code for it every time they do this?
Yes, and since 99.999% of the population will find that inconvenient, they just won't do it.
Yep, exactly.
The other way to do this, and this is something I've been harping on for many, many months, is that you get yourself a de-Googled phone and you use Linux.
Okay.
Because they won't be susceptible to this kind of code, because all that proprietary code that's doing all the spying behind the scenes won't be in there. Now, even though you can do this for yourself, then you kind of, the other person you're communicating with has to be doing the same as you. In order for it to work, because I suppose you could think of it like, say you're trying to quit smoking or you're trying to eat a better diet. You're trying to take steps to make changes. Everyone around you is not doing that, making it difficult for you to do your thing.
Working against it, yeah.
Working against it when everyone around you is not helping. What makes
agreeing and complying.
By agreeing and complying, that's right. Well, and, of course, a lot of people won't know, but now you do know because you've just heard me tell you again that this is going on. And we talked briefly about Windows Recall on how the computer would take a snapshot every few seconds of what was going on a computer's screen. What makes something like that easy to do is that modern hardware coming to you very, very soon, and if you've got a modern Apple Mac, the hardware is already capable, is that they have either a dedicated chip or circuitry that's built into the main CPU, which has an NPU. An NPU is a neural processing unit. It's computer hardware that is built for the sole purpose of doing a really good job at doing neural learning and AI stuff, okay?
Oh, dear.
So, like, you know, we've had CPUs, the central processing unit.
Yep, yep.
And then some years after that, we had a thing called a GPU for graphics card, a graphical processing unit, which is dedicated to doing graphical visual stuff really, really well. Now we've got the neural processing unit, which is dedicated to doing AI stuff really, really well. Now you put that hard into the hardware of your phone or computer, couple that with an operating system that is built to spy on you, and it's game over.
I didn't realize it had got to that. Oh, dear. The thing, I was just thinking, the case that's made for the surveillance is never strong. It's always on, you know, money laundering, porn and all that, and I get all that.
Yeah.
The thing is, we've lived with that for years now, decades. Is it fair to say that? We have, haven't we?
I think so. And
the world hasn't collapsed. But all of a sudden, it's to the level of problem that this kind of dystopian surveillance is kind of being justified. But they've never come out, the EU, and quantified the growth of this or the, you know, the risk versus baseline of legacy. I haven't heard any of that. I might have missed it.
No, I don't think you've missed it. I haven't seen anything like that either. It's like, well, you're trying to do this, justify why you think that's a good idea. Give us a risk-benefit analysis.
Because it would have to be like at an absolute sort of crisis tipping point to justify this. And I don't think the case has been made even close to that at all. That's why it's BS in my mind.
Exactly. And I think the thing they go through mostly, yes, there's the fraud thing, but there's also the photographs of children. And then everyone goes, oh, that's a bad thing. Then, yes, you guys, EU Parliament or whoever you are, whatever government, you go and do that because I don't want bad things happening to kids because no one does.
Well, of course.
Of course. So that's the buy-in. That's the thing that sucks you in. That's the thing that molds you into thinking that these guys aren't up to nefarious things. They're up to good things.
Yeah.
But we know different.
I want the trafficking in that stopped somehow, minimized as well, because you never stamp everything out. But like I say, the case is not made. And no one asks. I mean, you know, like, so what are you basing this on? Well, you know, it's just a whole lot of same old, same old. Unless I'm missing something. I could be, but you say I'm not. So,
Well, unless we both are.
Okay. And you wouldn't. I know that.
Well, I try not to.
No. You're the guard at the gate, mate, I tell you. All right, anything more to say about upload moderation?
Yeah, if it smells like BS, it probably is.
Yeah. And, of course, all that is available to any nation state, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and, you know, don't be surprised if one nation state goes, oh, I see what they're doing here. Yeah, I could use that in my tyrannical regime that I run here. So, yeah.
Just being kind and
empathetic. I'll be having some of that. Yeah.
Bit of kindness never went amiss.
And this is why I've been saying this for months about, you know, making better choices around the technology that you use, because when something like this hits us harder, like, well, would you rather be prepared or would you rather be scrambling like, oh, crap, what do I do now? Well, the solutions have always been around us and have been for donkey's ages. You just either haven't been aware or just haven't been bothered to see the point as to, you know, make a better choice.
Trust in institutions is, I'd say, at an all-time low, and this won't help it. And in fact, if you push it, people realize, looking back, that, hey, we've been led into this. This is not right. None of us like this. And a few people feel the chilly winds of it, let's say. You know, you're going to see that trust crash even more. And it comes to a point, surely, where if trust is so low, your institutions and your processes stop working properly. Because people don't buy in, to use the term.
And it becomes a sad world when no one trusts anyone because everyone's out to pull the wool over someone's eyes.
You'd never know who to trust, would you, in the end?
No.
Oh, dear. All right. Do we need to know more about that, or it pretty well sums it up for me?
I think that sums it up. And I'd like to close with a couple of paragraphs that I came across written by, I think, Brian Skoll. And this is around AI. And I thought it was very well written. So I think we can close off with this. So the text is, there's an interesting meme going around where the general concept is that AI should be the thing doing the laundry and dishes while the humans get to do the art and recreation. But instead, it's the other way around. What I love about this meme is that I'm not sure people realize just how old of a problem this is for humans. In Bertrand Russell's short essay called In Praise of Idleness, 1935, he quickly maps out how the overall strategy of these industries on the whole was to tout an idea invented under feudalism, which is the nobility of labor as it was espoused by people who never experienced labor in their entire lives.
Yeah.
They then make the argument that the new technology will make our lives easier and give us more time for other things. But then when the technology gives us more time for other things, that time gets filled with more work in the celebration of high productivity. This all gets carried down to the birth of AI, and while it's been claimed that it will help us in every aspect of our lives, one can't deny the obvious of what it's already doing, which is taking some of the jobs most meaningful to humans, the arts, while making more time for us to do more work. It's part of the cycle of technology, where the people get shafted on their end from the long-standing justification of technological development. Russell argues that we now, over 90 years ago, have a right to be idle. Humanity has built upon itself a lineage of technological advances that have given us great power, and yet instead of understanding what it takes to truly have meaningful lives, the demand for more work and more productivity has increased with the development of new tech. So I think people have every right to be outraged by AI. It is the intelligent accumulation of the great long con invented by medieval royalty that without hard work, you would have no purpose. And so to be a true and good citizen, you must dedicate your life to serving at the whims of the overlords, and you should be thankful because it's never been so great.
Be happy, own nothing, blah, blah. All right, I think we're done then, are we?
Yep, we're done.
Okay, and thanks to everybody who sent in feedback. That was some really cool stuff there, Stephen. So, and that was I suggest people, The Cage. In fact, I'll get them to retitle it in our replays, The Cage.
Okay.
So people can type that in because that's a good go-to. But if you missed it, I suggest you listen to it on our replays. I really do.
Thank you for the feedback, everyone. It's appreciated.
All right, there's another Tech Tuesday. What are we now? 350th episode or something? What are we up to now?
43.
43.
But I'm not counting.
I'm always exaggerating. Yeah, it's not days, it's weeks. Right, I remember that. And we'll do it again in a week, Stephen.
Sounds good.
With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.